Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, April 27th, 2023. I want to give a big shout out and a big happy birthday to Israel and all of my Jewish friends, 75 years as a reborn nation of freedom and democracy. It was just 24 hours ago that there was much celebration on Independence Day. What an incredible time. It's called Yom HaZamot. It memorializes Israeli independence. And it's declared 8 hours before the end of the British Mandate of Palestine. And what we want to remember is how this amazing group of people, these millions rising up out of the ashes of the Holocaust, were able to return to their homeland over 75 years ago, out of the ashes of suffering, the horrific death and destruction of 6 million Jews. Now, this is a time of celebration that the Israeli state is reborn again 75 years ago. So we have family gatherings, we have fireworks, concerts, barbecues, picnics. Israeli independence was officially declared on May 14, 1948. That's the day when David Ben-Gurion officially read the proclamation of the establishment of the State of Israel. The formation of Israel also meant that the British rule in the country had ended, and the citizens were now free. Now, I just tell you, I am a student of history, and this incredible event is so touching to me. It shows me, first of all, the mercy of God. But even more important, I guess if there is such a thing as more important, careful with that, Randy, is the accuracy of Holy Scripture, the accuracy of the Bible. Now, why is this such a big event, as I mentioned? Because the people of Israel had suffered tremendously before they settled back into the land of their own. They had been exiled from their homeland for 2,000 years and faced numerous religious persecutions, of course, including the Holocaust in Germany, which killed nearly a third of the world's Jewish population. Hence, Israel's chief Rabinati's recommendation in 1950 that the occasion is given the status of an official Jewish holiday. He also insisted that halal, a Jewish prayer, be performed on that very day. In 1973, Israeli chief Rabbi Shlomo Goren added to the custom by introducing a citation of blessings over halal. Just giving you some background to this incredible event. Now, I mentioned just a few seconds ago how this is a great demonstration of God's mercy. And it shows the accuracy, the trustworthiness of the Bible. And today on the cross in the desert, I'm going to take us back to history. I want to introduce you to how this all came about from several different angles. But I want to begin with primary scriptures from the Old Testament that center in on how amazing the formation of this Jewish state was prophesied thousands of years ago. This is why the Bible can be trusted and is trustworthy, because God declares in Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8, that he knows the end from the beginning, that whatever he sets out to accomplish, he does so by his great power and wisdom. I want us to hear from the words of some of the prophets of the Old Testament. We're going to begin with the minor prophet of Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. This is from the New International Version. And God says, I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them. This is, says the Lord your God. God promised his ancient people, his chosen people, do not be afraid. I'm going to bring you back from exile. You notice that there was different exiles in the Old Testament, the Babylonian exile under the monarchy, the tyranny of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then we had the great King Cyrus, the Persian king, who allowed the Jewish people at that time to return and rebuild their temple from exile. But God says there is coming a time, and I believe that time was 1948, when he would finally bring his people, Israel, back from exile and their diaspora from all over the world. You know, they're still coming from the land of Russia. They're still coming to this day. They're still returning. And he promised to bring them back from exile. They would rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. If you ever seen the agriculture in Israel, it is amazing. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. It is eye-opening. But God says this very clearly, because we know there is Palestinian opposition, there is Arab opposition to decree and destroy the nation of Israel. But God says very clearly, despite this opposition, I will plant Israel in their own land. It's their land because he gave it to them. Never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them. He promises they will never again be uprooted from this land. Now, that's Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 through 8. Listen to this. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. The analogy here is giving birth. But listen to this rhetorical question. Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Well, that points to May. May 14th, 1948, Israel was born in a day. Just amazing how Bible prophecy points towards the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. Now, they are not spiritually regenerated yet, but physically the dry bones have come to life. Now, I want us to get context here. This is so important. There are so many people responsible for the creation of the state. God used very specific vessels. One of those persons that God used in a mighty way for the reestablishment of the nation of Israel after the very painful dark days of the Holocaust, his name was Theodor Herzl. And I want you to sit back and listen for the next few minutes to this special report from CBN News.
Here at the highest point of Mount Herzl, the grave of modern Israel's most famous founder overlooks Jerusalem and the nation he fought so hard for the Jews to once again possess. Theodor Herzl, a refined Jewish gentleman living in Europe, saw a growing hatred of Jews in the late 1800s and feared the prejudice would never end. That's when he realized God's chosen people needed a safer place to live and sought to take them back to their sacred homeland.
Imagine where the Jewish people were 125 years ago. Broken, lost, wandering, homeless. And this guy, with piercing black eyes and a beautiful black beard and a real sense of dignity, says, "We are a people. We have ties to a particular homeland and the right to establish a state on that homeland. Zionism. We're going to return to Zion."
In an effort to keep Israel's history alive for new generations, professor and Jerusalem Post commentator Gil Troy has edited the three-volume Zionist Writings of Theodor Herzl.
He saw that at a time when the French were becoming more French and the Italians were becoming more Italian and there was this amazing thing called America coming together, that it was a moment of nationalism. And in order for the Jews to be accepted, truly respected, they needed their own home. Unfortunately, there was this ugly disease called anti-Semitism, which too many Europeans couldn't get over. It traumatized Herzl. And he said, "Wait a minute. I'm not going to give in to despair," although he has his dark moments. "I'm not going to give up. I'm going to find a way home."
Herzl, a journalist and playwright, wrote of a strong, confident new breed of people establishing this Jewish homeland.
"The idea must wing its ways into the most remote, miserable holes where our people dwell. They will awaken from their gloomy torpor. Then, activated, a generation of marvelous Jews will spring into existence."
He lobbied world leaders and assembled Jews from all over to Basel, Switzerland for the first World Zionist Congress. That set off a powerful Zionist movement and led to a prophecy.
August 29th, 1897, he calls together 208 Jews. And by the way, says, "Meet in formal dress because we're dignified people. We're not losers." And he says, after that Congress, and he puts it in his diaries, but he won't put it in public. He says, "Nobody's going to believe me, but in Basel we found the Jewish state, and 50 years from now, people are going to see that I'm right." And indeed, 50 years later, the United Nations on November 29th, 1947, voted to recognize that Zionist idea, that the Jews are a people, they have ties to a particular homeland, and the right to establish a state on that homeland. And a year later, so 51 years later, May 1948, Israel was established. And so he really was a prophet.
Activists began to push for a Jewish homeland, and thousands began moving to what the Bible called the Promised Land. The Jews had been scattered from here some 1,300 years before. And though many believe their ancient homeland to be lost forever, Herzl had faith.
Here's this guy leading this broken, scattered people. But he believes in the power of an idea. He believes that ideas are the force that can move history. Ideas are a force that can reunite people.
Although Herzl died in 1904, his influence helped lead to the 1917 Balfour Declaration, which endorsed the idea of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. Herzl's dream was well on its way to fruition. He'd always believed if you push hard enough, a dream, an idea, could become a reality. He wrote that this particular dream of a Jewish return to Zion must be made real.
"It is as old as our people, which has never, even in times of direst misery, ceased to cherish it. The Jewish state is something the world needs, and consequently, it will come into being. And it has.
It is a miracle. It's amazing when you look in the Old Testament, and of course the writings of the prophet Isaiah, you see how God used the Persian king Cyrus to free the people, the ancient Hebrew people, to help them to return to their homeland, to rebuild their temple. This was a pagan king, and God used King Cyrus in the reconstruction of the Jewish temple. He was a man of great integrity, actually. He formed the Cyrus Cylinder, we call it that today. It's a record of the human rights of King Cyrus and how he showed compassion. Even though he was a mighty conquering king, he showed compassion on the people that he ruled over and showed great human rights to them. How important it would be for the present government of Iran to recognize the history of this great nation that they rule over and recognize that the pagan King Cyrus granted the people human rights, which is something that the people of Iran long for, democracy, freedom, and human rights. But God used King Cyrus, and in the same way, he used Theodore Herzl, all of the things that he did to make this dream a reality. Because after World War II, the Jewish people wandered with no homeland, with no hope. You can't even begin to fathom what they went through. None of us can. The horrendous Holocaust. But out of the ashes of their incredible suffering, God was going to do a miracle. There would be coming beauty out of the ashes of their suffering. And Theodore Herzl was the man that God used to bring about something incredible. Now, there is so much to the history of Israel that obviously we don't have time on this program to go into, because I want to focus in on specific scriptures to show how this event was prophesied thousands of years ago in Holy Scripture. But I now want us to hear a brief soundbite on the state of Israel being born. Remember, I shared with you Isaiah chapter 66. This event in May of 1948, I believe, is the fulfillment of that prophecy. I want you to hear this brief soundbite. Let's take some time and listen.
May 14th, 1948, 4 p.m. Tel Aviv. On a small podium stands a determined Zionist leader before a hastily convened gathering, reading out a proclamation which would change the course of history. This is how the State of Israel was born. First, a bit of background. At the end of World War I, the Allied powers gained control over the Middle East, including the Land of Israel. The League of Nations recognized the historical connection of the Jewish people to their land and granted Great Britain a mandate to help them reconstitute a national home. However, Arab riots and geopolitical considerations led to a series of British restrictions on Jewish development and immigration. Even ships, including displaced children and Holocaust survivors, were sent back to Europe. Jewish resistance grew as well. By 1947, the ball was back in the United Nations court, where a majority of the nations decided on November 29th, after a tense vote, to divide the land into a Jewish and an Arab state. The Jews rejoiced. The local Arab population, well, they launched a war throughout the country. May 15th, 1948 was the date the British mandate officially ended, the date the Jewish state was to be declared, and the date five regular Arab armies planned a coordinated attack to annihilate the newborn state. On May 12th, David Ben-Gurion convened the People's Council. The atmosphere was grave. Moshe Sharet reported that the Americans are demanding a postponement of the declaration, or else they would not help Israel against the United Arab invasion. Golda Meir reported that King Abdullah had retracted his original agreement and will join the attack. Military leaders expressed serious doubts about the ability of the small Jewish community to withstand five regular Arab armies equipped with European weaponry. But somehow, after 13 hours of deliberations, Ben-Gurion succeeds in swaying the balance against the American demand. And on Friday, May 14th, in the presence of local Jewish leaders, he declares the establishment of the State of Israel. The proclamation, which was inspired by the American Declaration of Independence, asserted the historical and moral rights of the Jewish people in its historic homeland and defined Israel as a Jewish democratic state based on equal rights, freedom, and justice. The declaration ended with a call on Jews to return home and extended a hand for peace towards the local Arab population and neighboring Arab countries. The Arab invasion was immediate and lasted for over a year. Close to 50% of Israel's small fighting force were survivors of the Nazi death camps who vowed never again. One out of every 100 Jews living in Israel died in the fighting. But by the end of the war, the small Jewish state had emerged victorious as an independent nation in its homeland for the first time in 2,000 years.
It's nothing short of a miracle. This group of people, this ethnic group of people, by all accounts, should have disappeared thousands of years ago. But God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has never forsaken them. Even though it looked that way during the Holocaust, even the deep darkness that still paralyzes many survivors today. They can't seem to forget the darkness of that day. Yet God has promised that he would keep his people, a remnant of his people, alive, that they would survive. And he's done exactly what he promised he would do. The State of Israel is so important to us Americans. They are our strongest ally. They are the greatest example of democracy in the troubled Middle East. Under President Trump, look what was accomplished. Peace in the Middle East like never before. And he has done so much. His family, I mean, his daughter converted to Judaism. He has family ties to Israel. And I want to just say that the American embassy, the relocation of the American embassy to Jerusalem is a huge step in the right direction. But the peace in the Middle East through the Trump Accords is so, so important. And since Trump is no longer president, the region of the Middle East is very volatile. Biden, though he may claim is a friend of Israel, is really not a friend to Israel like President Trump was. You have to understand the mindset of this administration. They're very anti-God. I believe they're very anti-Semitic in many ways. And, of course, that follows suit with the United Nations as well. When Trump was president, there was a strong friendship, a strong recognition of the State of Israel. And we need Trump back in office to reestablish this very, very strong alliance with the State of Israel. But what I want to do with the remainder of this program, I want to show from specific prophecies how God has been faithful in the midst of Jewish suffering to establish them again as a nation. Now, there are probably at least 10 Bible prophecies that were fulfilled in 1948 when Israel became an independent United Nation for just the second time in history and for the first time in 2,900 years. And I mentioned to you the prophecy in Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. But I want to go now to the prophet Ezekiel. This is primary for our discussion. And this was written at least 593 years before the time of Christ. We're talking now over 2,500 years ago. But I believe that this was fulfilled in 1948. that Israel would be brought back to life. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 10 through 14, the prophet there receives a vision in which Israel was seen in this picture as scattering, dried up bones. You know the valley of vision. God tells Ezekiel that these bones, which I believe represent Israel, would be brought back to life. And just as Ezekiel has prophesied more than 2,600 years ago, the Jews were brought back to the land, and the country of Israel was brought back to life. Israel reestablished sovereignty in 1948, a mere 3 years after the end of the Holocaust. Isn't that amazing? Now listen. So I prophesied, commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 10 through 14. I don't know how much more clearer that God's word can make it. Ezekiel 37, now the chapter before talks about a spiritual regeneration. That has not happened yet. It will happen. But the dry bones have come back to life. And this is very clear that it is a regathering. Now that's Ezekiel 37. I mentioned to you Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 through 8, that speaks of Israel being reborn in one day. And that, I believe, was clearly fulfilled in 1948. Now, we're continuing on this marvelous, marvelous chapter, Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, now looking at verses 21 through 22, and mark this down in your Bible, it's so important. The prophet said that God would one day bring the people of Israel back to Israel as a united nation. That might have been a shock for Ezekiel. He lived 2,600 years ago. At that time, the people of Israel had already divided themselves into two separate kingdoms. And both kingdoms had been conquered, of course, by foreign invaders who forced many of the people, which included Ezekiel, into exile. But when Jews reclaimed sovereignty, May 14, 1948, they did so as a united people, creating one nation, Israel. Now listen to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 through 22, and say to them, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, Israelites, out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or divided into two kingdoms." Now, there is a lot that has yet to happen. And if you're a student of Bible prophecy, you know as well as I know that when the rapture of the church takes place before the reestablishment of that 7-year period, When the rapture takes place, there will be that seven-year period that Daniel chapter 9 speaks about. This is dealing directly with the nation of Israel after the rapture of the church. At the beginning of that seven-year period, the Antichrist will be revealed. He will arise, and he will establish a covenant, a peace treaty, with the people of Israel. And during that first 3.5 years will be the construction of the new temple, the third temple. And in the middle of that year, that seven-year period, 3.5 years later, he will proclaim himself to be God and go in and defile the temple. And that's where the greatest part of the tribulation takes place. And at the end of that seven-year period, the remnant of the Israel nation, Jesus, will return. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus said that. And all of Israel will be saved. That is in the future. But what we have here in Ezekiel is the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. Ezekiel predicted when Israel would be reestablished. In Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, the prophet said to the Jews who had lost control of their homeland, they would be punished at that time for 430 years. This prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, pinpointed the 1948 rebirth of Israel. Ezekiel said that the Jews were to be punished for 430 years because they had turned away from God. As part of that punishment, the Jews lost control of their homeland to Babylon. Many Jews were taken as captives to Babylon. Babylon was later conquered by Cyrus. As I mentioned to you, in 539 BC, Cyrus allowed the Jews to leave Babylon to return to their homeland. Only a small number returned. The return took place sometime in 536 BC, about 70 years after they had lost their independence to Babylon. And because most of the exiles chose to stay in pagan Babylon rather than return to the Holy Land, the remaining 360 years of their punishment was multiplied by seven. And by staying in pagan Babylon, most exiles were refusing to repent. So if you take the remaining 360 years of their punishment and multiply by seven, you really get 2,520 years. Now, those years are based on the 360-day lunar calendar. If those years are adjusted to the modern solar calendar, the result is 2,484 years. And that from 536 equals 1948. That is absolutely mind-boggling. Ezekiel prophesies the return of Israel to their own land. He said that God would gather the people of Israel scattered throughout the world and bring them back to their own land, Ezekiel 34:13. And after many centuries of dispersions, hundreds of thousands of Jews returned to their ancient homeland. And that began actually in the late 1800s. But millions more returned after Israel declared independence in 1948. In other words, millions of exiles returned to their ancient homeland, which was now truly their own land in the sense that it was now a sovereign Jewish state. Ezekiel 34, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them back into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34, 13. Read this yourself. This is the solemn declaration and promise of God to his chosen people. And that is just several of about 10 prophecies of Israel that were fulfilled in 1948 when Israel once again became a nation. What does this all mean? This establishment in 1948 is pointing to the last days. It is saying to us that Jesus is coming soon. And I want us now to recognize that with a great song by The Cry, Jesus is Coming Soon.
In the year of 1918, a man faced a mighty disease, killing many a thousand on the land and on the sea. We've been told God has warned us, Jesus is coming soon. We've been told God has warned us, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. In every way, he says, stern from the evil
powerful music. It is a solemn promise that Jesus is coming soon. No one knows the day nor the hour, because those that claim to know it really don't know it, and you can mark them as false prophets. Jesus made it very clear, Matthew chapter 24. But I want to get right down to what I'm talking about today in this vein. We need to support the people of Israel. We need to love them with the love of Christ. And yes, we have a responsibility and a passion to reach them for Yeshua. We do this with great gentleness and respect, because in the history of the church has not been so kind to the people of Israel. And so there has been a deep division. Now is the opportunity we have in the time remaining to reach the people of Israel, show them the Messiah is their promised Redeemer and Deliverer. We do that with great love and respect, and we show them how Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies, why he was crucified, why he had to be a suffering instead of a political Messiah. We do this with great precision, sharing the scriptures with them. And so we have here today an example of the amazing wisdom and the power of God to regather a dispersed people back into their homeland. It's one of the greatest evidences of the trustworthiness and reliability of the Bible. And I just want us to reach out with compassion and to make it our aim to daily pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There is the horrific examples of anti-Semitism all around us. We need to support the Jewish people, God's chosen people. When we do that, we are blessed. Those that bless you, I will bless, God says, Genesis chapter 12. But those that curse you will be cursed. Make no mistake about that. It is a solemn declaration. Israel is the apple of God's eyes, and we need to support them. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to join me on this very important program to celebrate with our Jewish friends Independence Day and to see how history and how the Bible has pointed to this very important day. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.